This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hey friends, this is Tim McKenna, and you're listening to another episode of Signal 337. So at the time of recording this episode, it's a Friday in early February. It's the middle of the day, which is very uncommon for me to record an episode. And I literally just walked back into the house after taking my dog on a short walk around a couple streets in my neighborhood. It was so nice just to get out and away from a computer screen and not see the LED glow of everything. Could actually be out in the sun and enjoying fresh air. I didn't even bring my phone with me. I just left it here and I took a quick walk. My dog and I walk up and down Kaufman Street and look at the different houses. She watches the squirrels intently. And I look at the different yards and see what people have got set up. Getting closer towards springtime here. And I don't know, it was something very peaceful, something very zen-like about that walk that I thought I would actually incorporate into this episode here. I speak a lot about business, design, technology, product, a lot of work-related things. But outside of work, I think we all have our own lives. I would hope that we would all have our own lives that is completely holistically removed from the capitalist engine that we are all part of. And I thought I would talk a little bit about that. Because if you listen to any type of business or design podcast, there's usually a very singular focus. We will talk about design practice or design leadership, and we'll talk about business strategy and thinking about things in that context. But if you don't nurture your actual side that is your own life, the side that the things that you enjoy that don't bring you any sort of monetary gain, if you don't nurture that side as well, and you just live to work, I feel bad for you in that regards. Because let's be honest here. We work to live. And that has been a much maligned statement in the past. But, yeah, we do provide our professional services in whatever capacity that may be so that we may have a life that we can enjoy outside of work. And I won't go into the whole capitalist machine engine of things, and that's a whole another topic altogether. But if you've listened to this show in the past, or if you listen to any like business or design-related podcast, we were pretty singularly focused on one topic. This whole show started off being around design-related, and I've really branched out into other areas as well. However, if you aren't nurturing those activities, those hobbies, those things that you do that don't bring you any monetary gain, that you do purely for your own enjoyment, if you don't nurture those, you're leading a very unbalanced life. Now, I can understand as well, it's very hard to find time to be able to indulge in those activities. But I have to say that with burnout being on the rise and only, you know, a couple of years ago being recognized as an actual medical condition, with all of us working in really unknown times right now, we're in the midst of what the media keeps referring to as the Great Resignation, with work being interesting and tenuous right now, if we don't take time for ourselves, that self-care, it can be really detrimental to your own longevity if you purely focus on the work-related aspects of your life. What am I getting at here? I thought I would share a little bit of my own hobbies. Things that I do that are completely outside of design and outside of business, that they are purely for my own enjoyment, and they do not bring any sort of monetary gain whatsoever. And I'll tell you why that I enjoy them. And how I think they actually make me a much more balanced individual. And my hope is that after you listen to this episode, that we could have a conversation about what it is that you do. What are the things that you do, that you enjoy, that bring you joy and balance in your life? There's three things that come to mind. Role-playing games, brewing beer, and playing the drums. I am a parent. I've got two small kids at home more than I'd like them to be, but they're at home often. My wife and I both work from home, and we have a crazy dog who likes her walks in the middle of the day. There's very few time that I actually have to dedicate to these, I would call them extracurricular activities, these hobbies and things. But they are on the top of my mind quite frequently. And when I do get the chance to dedicate some time to them, I can tell, and I know my wife can tell, that there's such a change in my own personality. I'm much more calm, I'm much more at peace, I'm pretty go with the flow, I'm just happier. And you could say that this podcast, which I do not make money from at all, like I have not monetized this at all, this is also purely for my enjoyment. This is an extension of work in a way because it is about work in the stuff that I do. And I do this to share, and I do really enjoy it. But my other hobbies, those are the things that really do bring some serenity, some peace. So I thought I'd share those. So role-playing games. You might be familiar with Dungeons & Dragons, but there are many more out there. And I've been playing role-playing games since I was 12, and I'm 37 now, so I've been playing for a long time. And I would play in the before times. I'd play with my friends, they would come over, and we'd sit around the dining room table, we'd each all have our character sheets out, we'd be rolling dice, and I'd usually be telling the stories. I was typically the game master. I liked to tell the story. And that shouldn't be too much of a surprise for any of you who do play role-playing games and listening to this show, is that I like to tell stories. And my role-playing game history and interest started off as a byproduct of watching a lot of sword and sorcery, fantasy, science fiction when I was younger. I watched Conan the Barbarian, Xena, Warrior Princess. I watched a lot of fantasy, sword and sorcery stuff. I have a little figurine of a xenomorph on my desk here that I'm looking at. I'm looking at the sci-fi side of things. Alien was huge, Blade Runner. Even the early Dune movie that came out way back when Patrick Stewart had hair. Yeah, you know, those things I used to watch, and they would inspire me. And just I'd have stories play out in my head left and right. And then when I learned about, you know, role-playing games is a way to tell those stories with friends and have actions to actually be part of things. The closest I had to any sort of role-playing when I was younger was R.L. Stein's own Choose Your Adventure stories. There was like Indiana Jones and other ones, and R.L. Stein did a whole bunch of those before he even did like the Goosebump book series. So being able to have the ability to be a part of a story and affect it in a way like that was totally right up my alleyway. And what really got me into that was I had read R.A. Salvatore's The Dark Elf Trilogy when I was in fifth grade. And here it is, like the craziness, everything that I loved about Lord of the Rings, everything I loved about Conan the Barbarian, everything I loved about John Carpenter of Mars, just all rolled up in the story. Then I was like, oh wait, this is part of a game too. Like, this is awesome. So I've been playing now for 25 years, and I have loved it. I have been exposed to so many new ways of thinking. I think that's the biggest thing that role-playing games has really taught me, is that there's no idea that's too crazy. There's no concept that's too out there. There is will. If there's a will, there's a way. And I think that role-playing games has helped me consider the what-if scenarios, has helped me think about crazy, big, audacious ideas. And I think it's helped to really remove the blinders that many of us may have inadvertently or maybe unaware of in our lives. Oh, it has to be this way. This is the only way of thinking. No, what if we tried it this way? That's what I think role-playing games have done for me. And also, it also helped me bring me out of my shell a bit more with people and being able to connect with other people, because we were all gathered around a table to play a game together, all differing personalities and different experiences, but we were there for a shared experience, and it was fun. And that environment and that safety allowed me to really blossom, to become the storyteller that I am today. So, role-playing games was huge. I have a closet behind me that is a big walk-in closet. We use it for storage for everything, and I have three bookshelves, really tall bookshelves, completely filled to the brim of role-playing game supplements, different books, core rule books. I have more dice than I know what to do with. I just have so many of the materials that I love reading, and they instantly start playing that movie in my head of different races, different, you know, backgrounds, Sariels and elves and dwarves and Warforged, and yeah, it's just amazing. And seeing the stories that play out in my head just from reading those and then interacting with others to play these games is fantastic. I don't get to play very often, but when I do, it's just, I'm firing on all cylinders. I always think about the what if. Then there is drumming. Drumming is probably the next oldest thing that I've been doing. I've been playing drums since I was 14, and I used to play professionally for a number of years right after high school, a little bit in high school, and then right after high school before I went to design school. And I love drumming. It was that one thing that I was like, I can do this, because the piano scared the shit out of me. I didn't know how to play the piano. I didn't know how to really mathematically think about how I can play different stuff with, you know, different fingers and everything. And the guitar always seemed cool and everything, but it was like the piano in all regards. I just could not wrap my head around the fretboard, really. And I still have a hard time with it. But organized hitting things? Yeah, I can do that. And that's how I started off. I think the first song I ever learned how to play on the drums was the George the Jungle theme song. You know, all those drum parts into it. Over time, I had developed chops and everything, and what I liked about drumming was that it was such a cathartic release. There was a creativity that was there. It was just coming up with your own beats, your own fills for everything, and sure, it was a little bit expensive getting into it at first, but once I had a pretty basic kit and I was able to play, I would listen to other songs and try to figure out their parts, and I could tell that I was getting better as I was getting more muscle memory. Everything was getting a little bit tighter. I was keeping up. I was keeping in pace. And it was, like I said, it was very cathartic. Some people go out and run and jog, and they enjoy the pain, the muscle pain that comes afterwards, that runner's high that people have. I used to play drums to the point of exhaustion. And while I don't do that as much anymore, there's something about that physicality that I absolutely love. Like I said, I had played professionally for a short period of time, and it was work, and now it's just for my own enjoyment. I just go downstairs in my basement and I play, probably scare all the spiders and the cave crickets that are down there, but that is also like an exercise for me. Some people like go and jog and things. Myself, I'll go downstairs, I'll blast out some blast beats, I'll play some Slayer, and I feel great for that. And I'm always being asked about join a band and everything. I'm like, yeah, I could, but I'm doing this for me. This is the things that I can do just for myself. And I think the most that I then give back in that regard is I show my own kids about drums. My son has tried, but he's 3 and he can't reach things because he's not tall enough. But I'll enjoy drumming, and it's been something that I've been doing for a long time. And again, the value that it brings to me, there's that physicality, there's that kind of release for that, there's that creativity that comes with it. Not too dissimilar from role-playing games. There's a creativity aspect to that as well. But there's no one there to tell me I'm fucking up or I'm doing a good job. Like, it's all on me, and I am my own critic in that regards. But with the idea that I'm having fun and I'm learning constantly, it does make it very enjoyable. And I think any other musician could also chime in on this as well, even if they're in a band or not in a band, just playing, the act of playing, the act of creativity and expression is great. I mainly play like metal and punk rock stuff just because I love the fast pace. I love kind of the theatrics of it, especially with metal. But I really enjoy jazz as well, that total freedom of expression. This, I don't really bind myself to any particular categories anymore. If it sounds cool and it's got interesting parts to it, I'll play it. It's fun. And then lastly, this is the one that had started maybe 7 years ago now, is when I first started brewing, was home brewing, was brewing beer at home. And no, it is legal in the United States. I do not sell it. It's not making drugs, as I've had many neighbors come by and think that I'm just making meth out in my garage. And it's a really fun hobby. It's definitely more formulaic, though. There's definitely more of a process. You need to learn, you know, the different terms, the different equipment and whatnot. But once you have that down, it's like drums in a way. Once you learn, you know, the bass drum, the toms, the snare, the hi-hat and everything, once you get like the basic stuff, then it becomes pure creativity. My intro into brewing really came out of cooking and trying a whole bunch of different beers. And then through a mutual friend of mine, I had learned about another friend in our group that does a lot of home brewing, and I had asked him to make a beer for an event that I was doing, and he was like, sure, but you're going to help. And I looked at him, I'm like, oh, you don't want me to do that. I'll screw it up. And he looked at me, and he's like, can you boil water? And I was like, yeah. He's like, you can make beer. And that started a whole nother realm of exploration and trying things. And this is the one I do most with other people as well. I have a brewing partner, Josh. We've been friends for a long time, and he's just as interested in the brewing process, and we geek out about things. And it was around that time that I had learned about Brewing TV. There was these three guys, Michael Dawson, Jake Keeler, Chip Walton. Yeah, the three OG guys. They have this YouTube channel. I think it was part of their company at one point in time that they were all part of. They were the marketing side of things. But here they are, these three guys from the Midwest teaching people how to brew, you know, home brewing. And I'd listen to their stories and listen about how they would create their different recipes, how they would try to make their own homebrew clones of things. And once I learned the process for things, it was very cool. It was very interesting. I think my first brew day took 9 hours because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I've now gotten it down. I've become so much more efficient. And one of the things about homebrewing is that I've never run into any, like, dickheads about homebrewing. I've just learned from the people, like, oh, hey, this is a great beer. How did you make this? Oh, here's what I've done. Or sharing equipment and whatnot. I've never run into any sort of, like, gatekeepers in that regard. And watching the homebrewing TV folks and homebrewing myself, I'd make a lot of different beers, try different things out, and it was just super fun because it was an activity. It was a calculated activity. I had to follow up with the temperatures and correct proportions and amount of stuff and like when I would add certain additions. And I was doing all this without a computer. I could have used a couple different programs or recipe guides and whatnot, but again, it was one of those things where I was not in front of a computer, I was not on my phone, or I was not tethered to everything. I had recipes that I wrote down, and I utilized those things. And my brewing partner and I would be sitting out front while things were getting up to temp, and we'd be talking, shooting the shit, talking about life, listening to stuff, and having to tell the neighbor that was walking by, no, we're not making drugs. So I've been brewing now for about 7 years, and haven't brewed yet in the new location here. I haven't brewed in this new house yet. Looking forward to doing that and having a whole new crop of neighbors thinking I'm making drugs. But there was an end product that I could give to people. Like, hey, try this out. And it was so great to see people enjoy the fruits of that. Like, the role-playing games is a shared experience. Everyone has their own thing. But here I'm actually creating something and someone can actually try. And it's probably the closest that I'll ever get to the fine dining aspect of things. I'm never going to become a chef because I don't want to do that. But I do like people enjoying the things that I make, and brewing has done a lot for me in that regards. And I will say that a huge inspiration for that was not only my initial mentor, Scott, but it was the homebrewing, the original homebrewing TV folks, Mike, Jake, and Chip. Yeah, they were a huge part of that. So those are three things. Those are three things that I do for myself, that I do purely for my own enjoyment, that don't bring me any other monetary gains at all. If you think of anything, I sink money into them. But the value, the rewards I get from doing those things are purely on a personal enjoyment level. Again, you're probably thinking, how does this relate to any of your other content, Tim? Like, you talk about design, you talk about business, you talk about strategy, you talk about technology. Yeah, those things are very important to me too. There is love of technology. I feel that I have found my path as a designer long ago, and this is the work that I really do love doing, and it does take up an inordinate amount of my life and conversations. There's many times where I'll meet up with friends, you know, for a beer, and we'll talk about work stuff. Not so much, you know, about our bosses or whatever, but we'll talk about, like, the finer points of research and ensuring that research is done with qualitative and quantitative analysis and things. And yeah, we'll go into those things a lot. So there's definite love and appreciation of the professional side of things that I do. However, they're not the only things that define me. And this is the whole gist of this episode, is that if we only define ourselves purely by whatever one metric, purely from a professional perspective, I feel like there's an imbalance there. And you need to have activities, things that you can do purely for yourself. I have a great friend of mine who is huge into video games, loves video games. He could be someone that would be a professional video game player. Not the esports guy, but the beta testers and stuff. He could be doing that, but no, he plays a lot of different games, finds so much enjoyment out of it, and for him, he gets the same enjoyment out of it as I do with playing role-playing games. I'm just not that big into video games myself, but he really enjoys that. I have another good friend who's also a drummer, and he has been playing for a lot longer than I have been, and he's been playing for a long time. He's recorded and stuff, and that's not his job. I have other friends of mine that are, you know, really into fostering animals, fostering dogs, and they're just so loving and giving to ensure that these animals have a great home and a great experience, and they don't have to be doing that. Is it a hobby? Kinda-ish, not really. Like, it's a service and stuff. They get so much more out of it. And, you know, some people might be like, that's a time suck. That's a waste of money and everything. But really, you could say any of these activities are. I feel that if you have a hobby, if you have something that you like to do, you need to nurture that so that you have balance. Because having too much overtaken in one area of your life will lead to burnout. And I think in the last 2.5 years, almost at this point now, we've been dealing with some unprecedented societal shifts. No matter where you're at, I can say that pretty confidently, no matter where you're at in the globe, shit's been weird and difficult, and we've all been dealing with massive amounts of changes. So how to deal with all those things, I feel, is to nurture those things that you enjoy purely for yourself. As long as you're not hurting anybody. You can't be going around saying, I like throwing axes at people. Don't do that. But things that are healthy, like the things that you do purely for yourself that just bring a lot of enjoyment and peace and calm for you, you should find time to nurture those things. You need to have that balance. And then when you get back into the work stuff, at least you're a little bit on a safer foundation for yourself. You need to take care of yourself first before giving your all to everybody else. So with that, I want to know what you do. What are the things that you do purely for yourself that you enjoy? Do you like crafting? Do you like painting? Do you like going for hikes? Maybe it's fishing. Maybe you're really into cooking. Maybe you're into painting small figurines. Maybe you do modeling. Maybe you are whatever. I want to know what it is that you do. Why does it bring you so much joy? How did you get into it? Or maybe you're interested about something and how you're going to go and learn more about it. I'd love to have this conversation, and you can join in this conversation on Twitter and LinkedIn, where we post both of the episodes. You can find us on Twitter at Signal337, and you can also look us up on LinkedIn, where we have a business page where we post every episode, typically on a Sunday or a Monday. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love for this to be a conversation about the things that you enjoy that are wholly you. And don't feel like embarrassed or self-conscious about it. I'd love to learn about it. Hell, I talk about role-playing games. For a lot of people, that's giant nerd territory. Now, oddly, it's like a thing that's really interesting to a lot of people. But what might be nerdy and weird today is probably going to be huge next year. Don't feel ashamed. Don't feel embarrassed. Share it. I'd love to hear about it. And then we can get back into the future episodes where we talk more about technology and design. So with all of that, I want to say thank you so very much for listening to this episode. And if you've been listening to any of the past episodes, thank you. Everything that I share is from my perspective. They are my own observations and experiences, and they're not indicative of any past or present companies I work with. It's all just from me. And then again, I just want to say thank you so very much, and I hope you have a great day.